This is a replay of the Tuesday night, August 11th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James, we have 3 big hours to spend together, and as I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. A lot of things that might be, actually. I know James sent me some links, and I can't wait to discuss the cemetery. Well, actually, not to a degree, yes, but a funeral home story with him that was going around Chicago, which is just so over-the-top bad, I don't know what to say. But I was just reading about the latest scam, supposedly, and this has ensnared a number of people. The idea of the scam, and I'll give you all the details in a moment, is not surprising or unbelievable. What's unbelievable is people fall for this. And I mean regularly, particularly in Florida, I'm not sure why. One 38-year-old woman who theoretically was not drooling and sitting or standing erect fell for it. Lost $25,000. It's the jury duty scam, which has been around for a while, but apparently ramping up now. And one of the problems is that the scammers usually take the time to get to know things about you before they call. But even though they're very convincing, firstly, no government agency is going to call you to say you missed jury duty. It's just not going to happen. Try getting them on the phone. It's not easy either. All right, on top of that, assuming in the highly unlikely scenario where they actually do place a call, and again, not gonna happen, they're not, guaranteed not, going to ask you to pay in cryptocurrency. Not only that, they're also not gonna ask you to pay in cash. In fact, many agencies won't even accept cash when you're going in to pay things. All right, so the bottom line, when you get the call, or gift cards, that's another one. Who in their right mind would think that it was anything but a scam when the other end says, buy some gift cards? You know, for the life of me, I don't get this. But people are losing big money, like this woman, Kimberly. She was kept on the phone for over 10 hours by 5 scammers. Well, and they were convincing. They knew her social security number and her bank balance and details about her parents' law enforcement careers. And then they claimed that she'd skipped jury duty. And they texted her a fake warrant and invoked a supposed gag order for missing jury duty. And now the fact that woman was on the phone longer than 10 seconds is alarming. 10 minutes still out of the question, but 10 hours? Now, one of the things they were able to do was track her phone activity. Now, I thought this was actually interesting, that increasingly there can be spyware on refurbished devices. So if you're buying secondhand devices, anything that can track where you are and such, be aware that it may not be as clean as it appears. That is a problem, and that's word to the wise. But the idea that they're going to call you and, yeah, pay in cryptocurrency now, I shouldn't laugh, because in Florida, this is really ramping up. In Tampa, there's been like 44 cases recently. I mean, there's a lot of cases where people are saying, I've just lost a lot of money. Yeah, the stupidity tax, as far as that goes. But the stupidity tax is huge. According to the FTC, in 2025 alone, Americans lost $3.5 billion to scammers. And that's almost triple what it was in 2020. And so you know darn well that AI is a big help. And also, there are more interesting ways for nefarious people to get information on you. So the bottom line is, A, if it's a government agency, they're not calling you. For instance, have you ever tried to call Social Security on the phone? I rest my case. Yeah, exactly. Not going to happen. So just a word of the wise. They call you, hang up. Yeah, absolutely hang up. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And like I say, I'm in the other studio, and I don't see well enough to see anything other than the names of the people we're going to be talking to. So I don't know what we're talking about, but I think we'll find out together. Brian is in Florida. He'll kick it off tonight. How's it going, Brian?
Well, it's Brian with a Y.
Yes,
why?
It is.
Because we love the Raleigh James show.
Yeah.
But I've never heard you talking about what to me is the most important day of the year. Every August 13th, this year it's Thursday, International Left-Handers Day. Do you happen to be left-handed? I've never seen you write in any of the video I've seen of you.
No, and I'm not left-handed.
Well, lucky you, but some of us are, and many of us are. About 10%. It varies around the nation and the world. I really only know the numbers for America. And it's about 15% of the male population, but only 5% of the female population, by and large. And I've always found that fascinating. I've had a couple of left-handed girlfriends, but most of them have been right-handed, of course. And on Thursday, a lot of people that are hip to International Left-Handers Day, which has been around since the 70s, but really only rolling since the Brits decided to make it a big thing back in 1992. But again, to me, it's like New Year's Eve and the 4th of July and several other holidays, including Columbus Day, October 12th, all rolled up into one. So I'm excited about it.
How do you plan to celebrate?
Well, I always do something. I'll tell you what I did a few years ago. I try to do something left-handed, specifically left-handed on the day. And on August 13th, a couple years ago, I drove down because I had read that Al Capone was born left-handed, but like everybody back in those days, especially of Italian heritage, were forced to be right-handed, to learn to write and do everything right-handed. But he was originally left-handed, I had read. So I went down and visited the place where he plotted the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which, by the way, everybody knows it was in 1929. What day of the week was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? Do you happen to know?
No.
It was a Thursday. Well, anyway, I went down there because he was living down there, and he eventually retired down there. He had that home on that artificial island about 4 miles east of downtown Miami. So I went and visited the place. Couldn't get in, but I saw the guardhouse where his bodyguards would be watching out for any potential assassins. And it's a nice place, but then they tore it down a couple. It was actually more than a couple of years ago. I think it was 4 years ago.
Yeah, he was on Palm Island, 93 Palm Island, to be exact.
That's right. I've got a photograph on my computer with the 93 there. The 93 is very prominent. It's a beautiful part of town, and he was a very ugly part of American history, but I thought it was a fun way to do it. I was thinking of somebody also told me that Rocky Marciano was left-handed. I don't know that that's true. Muhammad Ali certainly was, but I don't know about Marciano. In any case, though, he's buried in Fort Lauderdale, so I'm going to go over there this year as my tribute for Left-Handers Day. By the way, I don't do everything left-handed. I bat. If I were to play baseball or softball, I bat right-handed, and therefore I golf right-handed. But everything else I do left-handedly, and that gets me a lot of stares, as you might imagine. Last night on the trivia show, you mentioned one of my favorite singles of all time. Certainly have one of the greatest hooks of all time. I can dig it, he can dig it, you can dig it, we can dig it. Grazing in the Grass. You were talking about the instrumental version in the question. But, of course, American audiences, I thought, grooved a lot more to the Friends of Distinction when they took some lyrics that somebody wrote after the fact, I gather. And one thing I've noticed, I've been looking for years. Have you ever seen any mention of the obvious fact to me? I even was hoping to see it on Wikipedia, but I didn't, that it's a drug song. It's about getting high. It's about smoking pot.
Well,
everything here is so near you can feel it. Everything here is so clear you can see it. I mean, have you ever seen it mentioned? I've never heard anybody talking about that but me.
Well, I guess you'd have to ask Harry Elston. He was the guy from Friends of Distinction who wrote the lyrics.
Well, I mean, didn't you realize or didn't you think that the first or second time you heard the record?
I never thought about it either way. But then again, for years, I loved the idea of the Northern Soul all-nighters. I had no idea that it was about amphetamine usage.
Well, that's uppers and downers. I don't know about that stuff, but I know about pot smoking, and that's one of the many reasons. Well, the main reason it's such a great song is because of the hook and the melody, but fantastic work by the Friends of Distinction. I guess one-hit wonders. I don't know if they did anything else.
Yes, absolutely they did.
I'm not
even sure that that was their biggest hit.
Really?
So, yeah, they were around. Oh, I'm trying to think of what would probably be bigger when I say it's not their biggest hit, but I didn't think
it was Philadelphia, I guess.
No, they were actually a backing band of Ray Charles and Harry Elston and Floyd Butler. They were Ray Charles backers, and then they added a couple of guys, and then in '69 they got the deal on RCA. But the "Lover Let Me Be Lonely" in 1970 was a great record.
And,
it was a wonderful song. And, I'm trying to think of anything other than "Lover Let Me Be Lonely," but that's always the first thing I think of with them. But in any event, that's the deal.
Speaking of love and radio, and nobody loves radio more than you do, as you demonstrate at every show, God bless you for that, and I don't even believe in God, but are you one-tenth as bothered as I am by that stupid name for what used to have a great name, a corporation? I'm talking about Clear Channel.
Oh.
And now it's called iHeart Radio, which is not just dumb, it's a misappropriation of an original phrase. You remember, it started back in the 70s or maybe early 80s with that bumper sticker in New York, iHeart NY. And it was, I love New York. You're supposed to say love. You're not supposed to turn heart into a verb, for God's sake.
Yeah.
It's I love New York and it's I love radio, but they don't say that. It's I heart radio.
Well, actually,
again, are you bothered by this?
No, actually, it's I heart communications and I heart media. They were trying to act like they didn't have radio and terrestrial stations. This was all a ruse for the stock market. And, would I have picked that? Not in a million years. But radio is nowhere in their names at this point.
I know, and this is ugly. Well, but they're taglines on the radio. You're right. It's a multimedia thing like all the other conglomerates. But do you know the backstory of how it got to be named? iHeart Media, etc. Because the guy that was in charge, you probably used to hang with him. I don't know what his name was, but he was the CEO of Clear Channel, and he was talking in some interview. He said, "Well, I was just in a meeting one day, and I realized, my God, my company's got a name associated with old radio. We got to look forward to the future." And next thing you know, it's iHeart Radio. Well, I, Skull and Crossbones, hate that name, and I love Raleigh, but I've said that so many times, but I'm a redundant kind of a guy, as well as a left-handed kind of a guy. So think of me on Thursday, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Raleigh, and thanks for the air time.
I will, and thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, I assume Bob Pittman had something to do with it, but I think the only time I saw him, he was still driving the prize truck in Pittsburgh. So what can I tell you? 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh will do it to it, and speaking of radio, a wonderful time to talk about the Sea Crane Company, one of my all-time favorites. And, one of the radios that's really neat is the CC Skywave 2. If you haven't gone online anytime, I'm going to do that right now while we're speaking to look at that site, because ccradio.com, and you can look at the CC Skywave 2, and in fact, you can just as under emergency radios, you'll see it right away. And it is terrific. AM, FM, and of course, like everything Bob Crane had a hand in, terrific reception. Also, shortwave, NOAA weather, and alert, and more. So it's a very neat radio. It's got a distinctive alarm when NOAA issues warning, so you'll hear it no matter what you're doing, trust me. But it's also neat as a travel radio because you've got the entire VHF band of air traffic controllers. Now, some are on U and some are on V, but if you're traveling, it's a window to the world for the most part. But the reception's unbeatable. It'll fit in the palm of your hand, and you'll receive stations that other radios, certainly of its size, are going to miss entirely. And the enhanced shortwave performance makes it easier to stay informed when that might be the only source of information you're getting. A couple AA batteries will do you good for up to 70 hours. It depends how loud you're listening, but about 70 hours, making it a great pocket-sized travel companion. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and look at the CC Skywave 2. Oh, it's all digital. It's got a clock and a timer and alarm, all the features you want, and you can address it individually or tune, and take a look at it. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, you can call them. And if you have any questions, you can call them. Great customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online now, look at AM, FM radios, emergency radios, look at the CC Skywave 2. I think you're going to be impressed. Tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. Gave it airplay more than anything else is that it's such a great hour opener. So on oldie stations coast to coast that would very often come up, another one like that was not that big a hit, but man, as an hour opener, but it's all right. The J.J. Jackson record, the one from New York, not the guy from San Diego. Anyway, I digress. The reflections were interesting. It was the first hit for Golden World, and Golden World, of course, known as a soul label, so there was interest there. But the writers behind it was mostly Freddie Gorman. And interestingly, Freddie had been with Motown. And when he was part of the writing team of Brian Holland and Lamont Dozier. All right. Yes, that's right. Holland, Dozier. And you're saying, wait a minute, wouldn't that be also Holland? What's this Gorman? Well, see, that's actually what happened. He wasn't getting a lot out of Motown. Gee, what a shock, right? He had a day job as a postman, but he was writing as far as that goes. He didn't have an official staff contract. So when Brian's brother, Eddie, stepped in as lyricist, that was pretty much much it for Freddie Gorman. So lack of support on any level, he winds up going with Ed Wingate, who was starting Golden World. And of course, Berry Gordy just couldn't stand that Ed was doing well, so he had to buy him. So in 1966, here's Freddie, a writer for Golden World, coming back to Motown because Motown bought him. And then, of course, he became a member of the Originals, a founding member of the Originals. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, and I forgot all about the news. Let's do that right now on WGN Radio.
Yesterday, a child came up to wander.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Buffy St. Marie, that was the first recording of the Circle Game, and that's the song that Marty and Whiting requested. I thought that Buffy wrote it, because she was the first one out. Turned out Joni Mitchell did write it, but she didn't put it out for 3 years in 1970. And unfortunately, the Joni Mitchell version is, and Tom Rush as well, they're funeral dirges. But the original Buffy St. Marie, I thought was a terrific record, and it was the closest anything got to charting. Yes, I think number 109, bubbling under. All right. And it was in some movies and stuff like that. But it's an interesting song because, of course, not a hit, but at the same time, a folk standard. And I think it was on that Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But what I found most interesting in the little tidbits about that was it was an inspiration for David Clayton Thomas. When he was writing Spinning Wheel, the line in the song, "The Painted Ponies Go Up and Down," directly inspired Spinning Wheel. So there, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And I hope Marty liked that version because I just couldn't suffer playing the Joni Mitchell. So with that in mind, let's see, what are we doing? Jack is in St. Charles. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Jack. Hi.
What's up?
I was wondering about a couple of tunes.
Alright.
Party Lights by Claudine Clark.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And London Jackson's Let's Have a Party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. One of John Lennon's favorite records of all times.
Yeah. And I'm not going to suffer the people with Leslie Gore's It's My Party.
Well, okay. All right. But, hey, I thought Quincy Jones did an amazing job with her all the way around. So, and some of them were pretty good records. I thought her version of Look of Love, as long as it's the original production with Quincy, was a great song.
Oh, yeah. Well, when she was popular, I was doing in honor. I just didn't think she's always on the oldie station.
All right.
Some of that stuff comes up. I just seem to go over to a classical station or something.
No, I understand. Instead of reminding you about junior high school, it reminds you about lunch last Thursday. So I get it. So no problem. All right.
Okay.
Good deal. I'll play it for you. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
All right, so let me write down Jack's name because I am once again forgetting to do that. And though I know it was Eric who wanted that prelude to air, that Chicago song, which we'll get to, but this was Jack in St. Charles. All right, so now, in order, don't you know, we got Nick. Nick is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Nick.
Yes, thank you. It's always so nice to hear you. I want to quickly just mention again, we've talked about this before recently, about people getting calls. Nowadays, with phones, with a caller ID, I let it go to voicemail. If I don't recognize the number, I said I always let it go to voicemail. And then it's rare anybody leave a message, so I don't call back. I just delete the number then off my phone. And then I mentioned, too, that, and we talked about this, that sometimes some people have a device they can spoof. They can put in a phony number into your phone.
Of course.
They might know from somebody who's on welfare, who's dishonest, who goes through a neighborhood, looks at people's mail, writes down, doesn't take the mail, puts it back in, and writes down a name of a bank and a name of a person, and they sometimes can find out with all this information floating around and call up, let it go to voicemail, you know, because if you didn't call them for anything, if it's something legitimate, they'll leave a message on a voicemail. Then you look up on your records or your old paperwork what their phone numbers, make sure that number is the one you want to call, you know, not the one that they leave for you to call. But anyhow, so that's the end of that. And good luck to the people, the poor people out there, the fall victim to these people.
Yeah.
Now, getting to what I want to talk about, the Chicago Tribune, August 8th of this year, of course, they're showing the thing about the Oscar Mayer company and Oscar F. Mayer, who was the man in charge, head of packing firm Oscar Mayer Company, it says here. They show a picture of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, by the way, and the original one was in 1936. Mm-hmm. I've seen three different ones. I've been twice. I've talked to the people. I've touched the vehicle. Excuse me. But they show the man named Richard D. Trent Lage, T-R-E-N-T-L-A-G-E.
Yeah, right, absolutely. He wrote the jingle.
Oh, you know him, okay.
Yeah, he wrote the jingle. But yeah, it was brothers, actually. Oscar Ferdinand was only about 14. He was from Bavaria, and his brother Gottfried is the one who, with him, rented a meat shop and started it. And
okay. So his name was Ferdinand. The F is Ferdinand.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. And it says he was an Oscar, and he wrote more than 400 jingles for various companies. Holy cow! Talk about a really prolific mind, you know.
There's a lot of jingle writers, and some of them occasionally write songs as well. Larry Santos wrote a song that was popular for the Four Seasons, "Candy Girl," but he was mostly a jingle writer.
Okay. Yeah. Then I saw this other thing, and they let me see which paper to make sure I'm quoting it. I mentioned this because people are electronic. I don't have that ability, but they can have the phone and dig up the phone, the newspaper on their phone. Friday Tribune, Chicago Tribune, Friday, August 7th of this year. And it's about Elvis Presley, and I'm a big Elvis fan. I was there a year after Elvis died. I met his uncle Vester by coincidence by the gate. He was out there with some other family member, mm-hmm. and a couple of security. So that's how I knew that it had to be somebody important, because I saw you could tell the security people. You know, it was during the warmer weather, you know, August, and guns on their belts, you know. So, but anyhow. But there's a thing that the guy put together about the what they call this Elvis's Vegas residency. Like Sinatra spent a lot of time in Vegas.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, all that work for the what became the Las Vegas Hilton. It was originally the International Hilton. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And it says here you can stream this on Paramount Plus or rent it on other digital platforms. It's letter E. Letter, capital letter E, capital letter P, small case I, capital letter C, then a colon, Elvis Presley in concert. It shows it in the newspaper separated with the words, and probably on a computer it's all together. But and it's supposed to be good. It's about his a guy named Baz, B-A-Z, Luhrmann, L-U-R-H-M-A-N-N, Baz is Luhrmann. A work that put this together, and it's about a restored footage of Elvis Presley's long-running Las Vegas residency.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that, because sometimes you see things there that are not part of a promotion that you would buy on a DVD or see in a movie, you know.
Well, the first engagement Elvis had was in 1956, believe it or not, at the New Frontier, which no one remembers. It was about 2 weeks. But then in 69, the International, which became the Las Vegas Hilton. And the reason I know that that International Hilton runs so well is a friend of mine's husband designed the H that Hilton used forever in an ad for Elvis. He was commissioned to do the ad for Elvis. And Colonel Parker... Hilton said they loved it. Colonel says, you can just have it. And so every time my friend saw that H, he was like, we got cheated out of money. Big time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that does happen. You come up with an idea.
Right. But, you know, it was a work for hire through Colonel Parker. But, 69, and it was interesting because, of course, this was a comeback for Elvis. Remember, Elvis had started to become the butt of jokes. He was not doing well at all. The first...
styles of music were coming out.
And, you know, as he was putting on some weight and some other things and all that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they took a gamble on him, which is the right thing to do at the International, because he did 636 consecutive sold-out nights.
Wow. Can you imagine that? That's 300 days in a year, so that's like 2 years worth. Wow.
No, yeah, I know. Because when I was handling Charlie Rich's promotion, Charlie's business manager got him a few months at the Las Vegas Hilton, and so my job was to go there and see that Charlie didn't gamble away. I'm like, how am I going to do that? Just make sure he gets from the stage to his room, and so that was my job. Same kind of deal at the and now of course it's the Westgate, which is kind of crummy, but in the day it was really the place.
Oh, yeah, a lot of places. Well, when Las Vegas is being built up to make a place fancy, it took a lot of money, and the people were not coming as much because it wasn't yet so well known that, you know, like people in Los Angeles say, hey, where do we go this week? Well, let's go out to Vegas, you know. You know, it's just, then, you know, you have the ability to just go out there, and like now on the highway, you know. But anyhow, yeah, if you could play one of the songs of Elvis, that would be fantastic.
Anything in particular you like?
Yeah, some I like the lively, perky songs, you know, the ones that wake you up and
okay.
make you feel. The one, something about the mail, the postman, I wrote a letter, postman.
Return to sender. I will play Return to Sender for you.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the call.
Nice to hear you.
All right.
Nice to hear you on the radio.
Thanks. Good to have you. All right, so yeah, we'll play Return to Sender next right here on WGN Radio.
Return to Sender. Return to Sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote about it. Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such zone. We had a quarrel. A lover's back. Dropped it in the mailbox as in a special deed. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me. She wrote about it. Return to sender. Address unknown. No such person. No such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her hand. And if it comes back the very next day, then I'll understand.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was a commissioned record. It was for movie. Girls, Girls, Girls. It was a Paramount movie. And it got Otis Blackwell, that's writing royalty for sure, along with Wynn Scott, who wrote that. And it was recorded in, I think, November of 62. Return to Sender. So, there you go. That was for Nick. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Victor is in Silver Spring. How you feeling today, Victor?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Good.
I was listening to Back to the Station Wagon earlier,
uh-huh.
and they were talking about the different types of records from the 33 and a third to the 45 to the 78, and they were playing all kinds of really neat records.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about some of the records I had when I was growing up, the children's records.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember having The Lollipop Tree by Burl Ives and a lot of Mickey Mouse records, Spinning Marty and the Hardy Boys with their music, Annette. And also on television at the time, I remember Tom Terrific. It was a cartoon that all you saw were the outlines. That's it.
Yep.
And they only had a banjo and an accordion for the music. And it was kind of neat, you know, reminiscing about these shows with Nick. And it's too bad you can't see them anymore. Yeah, I guess my late fiancé was able to look it up on YouTube,
yeah.
And you can see some of these old shows.
Oh, sure. Some of the kiddie records were interesting in the mid-50s, especially, because you had plastics manufacturers, like Synthetics Plastics, that was in Newark, and there was a company in Philadelphia, and this was when shellac was going out, and there was the non-breakable, it was really polystyrene, a lot more than vinyl, but they'd have it in different colors, and they wound up pressing a ton of this stuff for kiddies, very cheap to inject, they didn't last very long, but, you know, nonetheless, this was a business for about a decade.
Yeah, I remember I had another friend who recorded some of these records. I got Sparky and the Magic Piano. Let's see, there was another one, Rusty and Orchestra Land.
Yeah, and they had labels like Peter Pan or Little John or, absolutely, that was novelty. And the other thing that these plastic guys were doing at the same time was those sound-alikes like Tops and Promenade, where you got six records for 79 cents, six songs for 79 cents, and, you know, they were just sound-alike records, but they sold a lot.
Yeah. Also around that time, I forgot what cereal it was, but if you cut out the
on paper, you could play them, right. And
yeah,
that was around for a long. Mad Magazine, when they first released It's a Gas, that was a paper fold out from the magazine.
Yes. My father would not allow us to get Mad Magazine, but I was able to sneak a copy or two. It was fun, especially sing along with Matt.
All of it was fun, of course.
And they got into a little bit of trouble. They did a song called "There's No Business Like No Business," and the author of the
of Show Business. But ultimately, he didn't prevail.
Yeah.
Yep. And that comes up fairly often. And the Supreme Court has ruled that parodies are fair game.
Oh, yeah. Because I loved it when Weird Al Yankovic did Madonna's song, like a Surgeon.
Like a Surgeon, sure, absolutely. A lot of things Weird Al did were hilarious.
And I wonder what some of these artists thought when their songs ended up as parodies. I was thinking of Stan Freberg's when he did his version of the Banana Boat song.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And the guy said, no, I can't stand that, no. But it's part of the song. The Black Tarantula is part of the song. And when they do Dale, the guy says, oh, it's hurting my ears, so he runs it. So you hear him running into the hallway, shut the door, and go, Deo. Yeah. And the door got stuck one time, and he went, I went through the window.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting on that legally, the parody producers do not have to pay the original writers, the underlining writers. But that's one thing that Weird Al always did. He got permission for every parody, and he split the publishing royalties for the parodies. So he really was upstanding that way. But not everybody is, and legally, they don't have to be.
I once talked to Weird Al Yankovic. He was a guest on WJOK.
Oh, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We'll talk after the news, and we'll also get to James and Ruth and Eduardo, and hopefully you to Cindy, and you too, coming up on WGN Radio. Raleigh, James. She's waiting Eric Clapton, and it is Eduardo in Florida who was waiting for that, and we'll be getting to him in a moment, but we're talking to Victor in Silver Spring, about records of the past. So carry on, Victor.
Okay, another thing I used to do is I would take a song, and I would make two copies of it, and I would play one after the other with a split second, and I get the echo effect.
Yeah.
And if I was lucky, one recorder would catch up with the other, and for a second I would hear phasing, which was really neat. And used to have a lot of fun doing that. But I just want to mention that I have 5 C-Crane SW radios that have been in the house for, I don't know, maybe 15 years or something. They're still working.
Good.
They're still working.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, it's interesting what you were doing to get the phasing effect and also the that reverb. It's exactly what we tried to undo with MGM when they tried that phony stereo, particularly on Tommy Edwards. Just drove me crazy. Yeah, hated that. But it was fun to create your own phasing. I agree.
Yeah, there was a song, I think it was by Super Session, You Don't Love Me Anymore or something. The late WHFS, when they were at 102.3, played that a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of the psychedelic records had that phasing echo effect in the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, You Don't Love Me, that was on that 1968 album, and that really sold well, that on Columbia. That was Bloomfield and Cooper and Stills. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of another song that had a lot of phasing in it. I think it was Nas.
On Hello, It's Me.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
All right, I'm gonna.
And by the way, while you're at it, don't forget Ichiku Park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was big. And of course, the first one, which was an accident, was The Big Hurt, Tony Fisher.
Yes. I wonder how that happened.
By accident. It's a long story. I'll tell it some night.
Yeah, I remember The Big Hurt.
Yeah. Miss Tony Fisher.
I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, always wonderful to hear from you, Victor.
Take care.
Okay, thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593. And let's see. Oh, James on the South Side called right as the show was beginning. So, James, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, always. Yeah. And as I was saying, all your headlines are interesting, but the body shuffle at the funeral home and the cemetery is, I didn't think we could top this, but then listening to David Jennings when I first got on the air, and he was retelling that story that's been all over the news about the president hiding out in a truck to avoid getting on the plane because there were, death threats or what have you. The whole time I was hearing that, I was thinking, and they let the press corps go on this flight? They didn't say a word to them? Yeah, if they were afraid that that the plane was going to fall out of the sky, why did they let people on it? But there you have it.
Of course,
we are hearing stories of frustration.
Kind of strange. It's although it's, of course, then again, this goes back to the which Air Force One do you want to fly?
All the talk about that. But now I don't know. Maybe part of the reason that he switched planes right then wasn't only because they were concerned about how it was outfitted for security. But moving on to the story at hand. And everybody in Chicago knows about this because it was such a shock, and it's been on every newscast, that a funeral home literally mixed up bodies. There were dozens of them still around. People who had relatives who were cremated, they have absolutely no reason to believe that the cremated remains have anything to do with their family. This is just beyond horrible. But what shocked me was that the woman who owns the funeral home, her husband had a funeral home closed a year ago for the same reason.
Yeah, it makes you kind of ask, Okay, hanging out with all the wrong people.
I can't. Well, yeah, right. Wrong people indeed. This is just beyond horrible, and I don't think there's anything they can do to make this right. Obviously, the bodies that were languishing there that have not yet been processed, they can figure out who they are. But the people who it took forever to get their remains, and there were a lot of people interviewed like that, as they hold those remains, how do you test those remains?
Yeah, because basically the DNA has been denatured.
Well, I don't know. I know nothing about this other than I think people have every right to be upset about this, and I still can't believe that this was allowed to go on after the previous year.
Although I suspect that at least part of the problem was that I guess they thought they had gotten rid of one bad apple and didn't think that there would be another one nearby.
Well, another one married to the first one. All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. But my heart goes out to the people who are grieving yet again. You know, just horrible.
Yeah. Because the question, because if you don't know that your loved one's remains, you are somehow been cheated.
Well, of course, on every level, it's wrong. You know, you hear about this happening occasionally with animal crematorium like pets, but when it's, you know, when it's humans, this is unforgivable on every level.
It reminds you about the Burr Oak Cemetery thing, but you kind of would think, but nobody would do that again.
Yeah, well, and exactly. And you'd think that after getting away with it the first time, so to speak, that there wouldn't be a second time. So yes, indeed. So yeah, appreciated the story, but just unbelievable. And then you gave me a story on whether Alzheimer's disease was reversible. And you know, while I was reading that, I was thinking, all over the internet, they have all these mediums who communicate with dead people, supposedly, right? Talking about this or that, if you believe any of that, okay, but fine. Well, what I want to know, wouldn't it be interesting if they actually do talk with departed people? If they could talk with people who had Alzheimer's before they departed to find out what were they really thinking mentally in you know, what was their thought processes toward the end? Because, you know, we all wonder about that. And horrifying all the way around, I think. And more we're hearing about it, and everybody has their little theory on what it is. We don't know. But I think people who are fearing death, many more of them fearing going that way.
Because you're basically, you don't know who you are, and you're going out that way.
Right.
And you have no way of really, you've even lost the ability to communicate with those more closest to you.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, there's all sorts of interesting stories about how, you know, just before passing, people will suddenly have a moment of lucidity and they'll recognize all their family and all that. Those are heartwarming stories. And you hear that a lot. But in general, I'd be fascinated to know if we could ever find out what is that end process like. We see it from our end of it, and it's heartbreaking. But what's it like for the patient?
That would be something that I admit would fascinate me. It is, for one.
Yeah, it is interesting. In the article that you gave me, that the woman who was first discussed was a woman who was 49 years old, and she already had been diagnosed with early onset, and she got to the point where she was placing a sticky note on her steering wheel to remind herself to drive on the right, because as a jogger, she was used to keeping left, so she started to confuse the two. And I'm thinking to myself, and she's driving? You know, a sticky note on the steering wheel is insufficient.
Yeah, sure. And at that point, you kind of know that maybe you shouldn't be behind the wheel.
Well, and you know, what was interesting, of course, is the reason that she was interviewed was when she went to the doctor and asked if there was anything she could do, a doctor said, good luck with that. And she wound up trying a medical protocol that worked. I mean, it didn't bring her back to a state of mental cognition, but it certainly did reverse a lot of this. So, and you know, we don't know. Everybody has a theory about what can cause this, whether it's prions from mad cow disease to genetics to whatever. We just don't know. And it is interesting that we're starting, because unfortunately it's so prevalent that the doctors are starting to revisit the idea that it was just a fait accompli and nothing could be done about it. And so so they are, and of course pharmaceutical companies would like nothing more than to come up with a miracle drug. But at the same time, it's fascinating. And if they actually can make the neurological connections, I think that would also help stroke people. People who've had brain changes because of strokes.
Yes, it would. Yeah. Because here's the thing, Alzheimer's originally was discovered in the 19th century.
Well,
like it was
yeah.
But it didn't become a prevalent disease until the 1980s.
Right. And some people would say, well, that's because we're living longer, but that really didn't explain it. There were so many things, and we know so little, and sadly, until recently, it's just kind of been written off. Well, that's it, you know, and I don't think we're any closer to having a real idea, but the thing that is really jarring to me is that you're not definitively diagnosed until after you die.
Oh, yeah, they have to do a post. If you want to know,
you're going to have to go through that that autopsy process for it. But the idea that we're talking about something that we don't even know how to identify it other than symptoms, it just frightening as all get out.
And I think that okay, we will probably discover that there's a few things that are, I suspect, maybe environmental, and maybe a few things that are things that we are not have very little to do with the environment.
Right.
And I think it's going to be 50-50.
Right, it'll be a cocktail. It'll be a cocktail of things, and genetics will be in there as well, because, you know, that's always any guess. You know, somebody can smoke forever and live to 98 years old. Somebody else smokes, they're dead of cancer at 40, you know. So genetics are playing a role of it as well. But I agree that it's going to be more than one thing, and it would be really good if we got a handle on this. I don't think there's anyone around anymore who doesn't have someone in their life, even if somebody at a distance, who isn't dealing with Alzheimer's or who didn't deal with it. It's just that pervasive.
Yeah, and really, as that unfortunately, that famous line from that College Fund goes, okay, a mind is a terrible thing to
waste.
Really.
Yes, right, exactly.
Well, in this case, to make a slight adjustment to that, a mind is a terrible thing to lose.
Oh, absolutely. But of course, that line, which was so wonderful for the Negro colleges, that was a great tagline. But then, of course, Richard Pryor, you know, when he kind of caught himself on fire freebasing, and it came out, the mind is a terrible thing to baste. I've never gotten over that. Now, every time I hear that line, I think of it in that form. So I don't know what to say about that. But you also had an interesting story talking about conditions and their cures. That rare hair loss disorder turns out comes from a skin moisturizer?
Apparently people were rubbing this, and for some reason it started making the hair follicles disappear.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Like,
oh, God.
This
yeah.
Is,
yeah. And you were worried about dry skin? Oh, God. Yeah. Just
yeah,
horrible.
You start thinking, okay, what else can the pharmaceuticals and the big guys come up with that would be even worse than what I don't want to know about?
Yeah, Yeah, I'd say. So I guess think twice about that that skin moisturizer. Always a wonderful group of stories, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, talk to you soon.
Have a nice day.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Bye. All right, so yeah, good stuff. 888-876-5593. Well, not good in some senses, but interesting stuff nonetheless. So we will get to Eduardo, and we have Ruth and Mike and Cindy and you on WGN Radio. This is the original 1964 on Colpix, and a fine song. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. All right, so what are we doing here? We're talking to Eduardo is what we're doing, I think. Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening, Raleigh. Thank you for playing the Eric Clapton request.
Hope you liked it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, before I get into the weather, I got my mother to get those knee injections.
Yeah.
She has arthritis.
Right.
On Monday, and then today we did the flu shot.
Okay, and how's she doing?
Primary doctor. She's well.
Good.
The primary doctor, when she saw her last week,
okay,
where she got the B12 injection too, reminded her, yeah, get the flu shot because that season's coming up.
So, well, there you are.
Yeah. So that was good. Hey, good news. I saw this baby that they found from the Columbia earthquake. That made my day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you start to realize that a lot of it's just fate, you know, things that shouldn't happen, and in this case, a nice thing that shouldn't have happened. So it
did.
That's great.
They said that they have 7 airports. I saw this on the Spanish news while I was waiting, that 7 airports are closed.
Well, yeah.
In that country, so.
Yeah, well, this is serious, and the baby was in an apartment building, and what I don't know, because it was a, you know, fairly sizable building, I guess, is were there any other survivors?
Yeah, hey, Raleigh, you think there'd be like an alarm that would say, I mean, I know we have, like, tornado sirens, but then the siren would alert you of a pending earthquake.
No.
Then you would get out of the building.
Yeah, right. But to the best of my knowledge, and I'm, of course, an Angeleno, so I grew up with it, but there is no real advance warning. You know, many people will think that things happen prior, you know, little tremors and stuff like that, but there's no real correlation of which I'm aware. I don't know. It's to the best of my knowledge, you don't have any reliable warning. You know, again, after the fact, you can look back and say, oh, well, look at this and that or the other. But as far as like with tornadoes, you know, you have the watches when weather conditions are ripe for them, and then you have the warnings when they've actually been seen. So you've got something to go on there, something concrete.
Yeah, which I believe happened today because my younger brother told me that the tornado siren went off.
Right.
Because he's over there by Midway.
Right. So I don't think there is anything, and I could be wrong, and somebody can easily call, mm-hmm. and I hope they will. I don't think we've got a line available now, but we will soon. They have earthquake early warning systems. You know, I've seen these at various engineering colleges and stuff like that. But what we're talking about is in terms of reliability, like a tenth of a second or maybe a few seconds notice, but not mm-hmm. not more than that. You know, what they're detecting is initial seismic waves that are non-damaging, the P waves. We don't feel them, and that's when the moment it starts. But by the time it can detect a P wave, there's nothing we can do about it. The S wave is coming.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got they're operational. I know they have them, and yeah, I've seen some of the also some of the maps in terms of what is predicted and all that, and they're downright scary. But they've got them, but I don't know anywhere where we're talking more than seconds.
Well, Riley, this is the second one, as you know, what happened with Venezuela last month.
Well, sure.
So, is it just like working its way up to Central America, eventually to the Angelina land?
Well, anything's possible. And, of course, we know where some fault lines are. One of our strongest fault lines is actually yeah. New Madrid, and that's the center of the country. You know, Manhattan's on a fault line. A lot of people don't realize that. It could be anything. And, you know, you've got everybody predicting everything, including sunspots. So, you know, it's hard to know. But let's face it, as we drive around and we look at some of the beautiful formations of mountains and hills and all that, well, how do you think they got there? You know, I mean, things happen. Yeah. We don't think about them happening in our lifetime. But I would say anything's possible. And, of course, you know, the seismo labs work on this to try and find this out. And, you know, there's one they call shake alert because seconds matter. But, you know, I would contend that, no, for the most part, seconds don't matter, you know, when you get right down to it. But if there was something that would, you know, even give you 5 minutes, that's something. But 10 seconds, what are you going to do? You know. And so I'm not sure, but you get a lot of conspiracies now about why we're having more and all that, and you know, who knows?
Yeah. Well, that gets thrown into like last week we were talking about the land being dry, you know, no water and all that.
Oh, sure.
The fires and all that's all part of it.
Well, sure. And, you know, people who are like talking about climate change, there's always climate change. The Earth is,
sure.
is absolutely alive that way and vibrant, and things do change. And we can look historically and see the ice ages, or, you know, see the other areas where places that are, you know, surrounded by ice now were tropical. I mean, of course, the Earth continues to shift, and we'd be foolhardy to think that it wasn't going to continue to shift. We just never know if we're the generation that's going to be, you know, on the planet when it does in a major way.
Yeah, I don't like to believe in conspiracy, so I just think it's just, I mean, the weather changes year to year.
Yes, of course it does.
Yeah,
absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
And you know, the idea that that we can control that. No, I'm sorry, we're not not quite that powerful. So
yeah. Well, we hope that the buildings are, you know, up to standards.
Well, and that's now
you raise coming down.
Right. You raise a very interesting question.
Going sideways.
Right. Very interesting question, because, of course, in places that are prone to earth movement, and like, for instance, in Southern California, there's some areas that it's almost daily. You know, I can't believe how many people love Palos Verdes, for instance, the peninsula there, because that ground is moving every damn day. But the idea that you're going to have somewhat of a quake is known. So the building standards control that. And, for instance, the high rises in downtown L.A., they're basically built on things that can roll and sway. You won't like it when you feel it when you're up on the 50th floor, but the idea that the building has the give is what's going to save it from collapsing.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think that there are building standards firstly, in many of the countries we're talking about. Colombia, for instance, it's got some areas that, you know, it wouldn't take much to destroy a neighborhood, you know, in terms of how it was built, as far as that goes. But even in places that have fairly good standards, if it's nothing you've ever encountered, is that actually written into the code?
Yeah.
You know, like, for instance, if you're from California, one thing, like when you're putting dishes in your kitchen cabinets, you latch those doors. You latch them because if you're going to get a tremor, everything's going to fall out. So it's just second nature you're going to latch the doors. But, you know, when I've lived in other places, no one is even aware of the concept because they're not expecting the dishes to fall out of the cabinet.
Did you ever feel like when you're over there? Did you ever feel like a seven or?
Yeah, I absolutely. A serious earthquake? Serious? No, but you know, tremors, big tremors. Yeah, you betcha.
Okay.
The worst, I'll tell you, the absolute worst is being in an elevator when it happens. I hated that.
Oh, yeah.
but I remember once I was asleep and we had a big tremor and some books fell on me. So I'm like, well, that's a fine way to wake up, you know. So but it was my fault because I shouldn't have had bookshelves right there. If you think about it, that was my stupidity. But sure, there's nobody who has spent years in California who hasn't been involved in tremors. We were sitting in a restaurant north of San Francisco, John and I, and he had not been involved in them at all. And all of a sudden, the plate glass windows, they just swayed. They bowed out and bowed in because it was, it was movement. But obviously, they were designed to handle that because nothing broke.
Yeah, San Francisco was the one that had the 8, I think, in the early 1900s.
Oh, yeah, of course. But that all sorts of things involved in that. But as far as in recent times, in many of our lifetimes, not yours necessarily, but that 1964 earthquake in Anchorage, that was a doozy.
Okay.
And that was really bad. And that they still have Earthquake Park there, in fact. That was huge. And so it was Good Friday, and it was right after quitting time at work. And oh man, you hear about magnitudes, and of course they weren't measuring them exactly the same way, but on today's scale it would be about a 9.3. And, we're not talking about that in any of the quakes we're talking about now. 9.3 makes it the second most powerful quake ever recorded. And again, before 1900, nothing was recorded. So we don't know what was there and probably so. But a 9.3, this is not good, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob, I'm going to get out because your lines are full, so I'll call back later in the week.
I'll look forward to it. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Raleigh.
All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we have Sam in Gurnee. Sam, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I just want to say that I love Eduardo.
Yeah.
He's like, he is such a wonderful guy, and I just want to compliment him for his composure and the way he handled his conversations, and he always has so many good things to say.
Yeah.
So I just want to compliment him, but I was, the reason I was calling, because earlier in the program you played Return to Sender by Elvis.
Yep.
And I recalled another song that he did called U.S. Mail.
Of course.
Which relates.
Yes.
Which relates to some degree. So I was going to see if you could play that.
Oh, sure.
If not, sure. Okay. But
yeah, that was 1968. Jerry Reed wrote that.
Really?
Yes.
Did you ever hear what Jerry Reed said when he saw Elvis?
I'm almost afraid to hear this. What?
Jerry Reed said, he was sitting in a room, and he said, I walked in. He said, Elvis walked in, and he said, I'd never seen such a handsome guy in my whole life.
Oh.
And he said, I yeah. That's so funny. You can look it up. But Jerry Reed said, damn, I wish I was a woman right now.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
But anyway, yeah, but if you can play that, I would appreciate it. And
okay.
I just, like I said, I just wanted to compliment Eduardo because every single time I've heard him talk, he always has something interesting to say. He's a wonderful guest on your program, and I just appreciate him very much.
All right. Well, it's always good to hear from you. Everything good and everything on an even keel with your granddaughter?
No, we're still going through it.
Sorry to hear it.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I'm not going to get into it deeply with you, but I will just inform you that we've received her back, but we are going through it, and it's costing tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, of course it is.
And, and so we're just going through it, but I appreciate you asking.
All right. Good deal.
We'll
get you U.S. mail, and I might even try to round up the original Jerry Reed version.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks.
Sounds good.
Appreciate it.
All right, you have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right, bye.
So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I'm a U.S. mail because I was born in a Mississippi town on a Sunday morning. Now, Mississippi just happens to occupy a place in the southeastern portion of this here United States. Now, that's a matter of fact, buddy. You know it well. So I just call myself the U.S. Mail. That's M-A-L-E, son. That's me. Now, I said all that to say all this. I've been watching the way you've been watching my miss. The last 3 weeks you've been hot on her trail. You kind of upset this U.S. mail. You touch her once with your greasy hand, I'm gonna stretch your neck like a long rubber band. She's wearing a ring that I bought her on sale. That makes her the property of this U.S. mail. You better not mess with the U.S. mail, my friend. The U.S. mail gets mad, he's gonna do you in. Son, you better find somebody else, son. Don't tamper with the property of the U.S. mail.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James Rice. That's Elvis from 1968 on RCA, of course. Now, a year earlier, the guy who wrote it did it, and I think Elvis was kind of channeling him. I think that myself, but I'll let you decide.
Now, I'm a U.S. male because I was born in a South Georgia town on a Sunday morning. Now, Georgia just happens to occupy a place in the southeastern portion of the United States. Now, that's a fact, buddy, and you know it well. So I just call myself the U.S. mail. M-A-L-E, son, that's me. Now, I said all that to say all this. I've been a-watching the way you've been a-watching my miss. For the past 3 weeks, you've been hot on the trail, and you kind of upsetting the U.S. mail. Now, you can touch her once with your greasy hand. I'm gonna stretch your neck like a long rubber band. Cause she's wearing a ring that I bought on sale, so that makes her the property of this U.S. mail. So you better not mess with the U.S. mail, my friend. If the U.S. mail gets mad, it's gonna do you in. If you know what's good for yourself, son, you go find you somebody else, son. Don't tamper with the property of the U.S. mail.
Sorry, Elvis, but that's my choice anyway when it comes to that. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. I believe that Mike in Elmwood Park has a request or two. All right, Mike, what's up?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could play Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas.
Okay.
And a little bit of Soap by the Jarmels.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife. I had bypass surgery about 8 months ago.
And how you doing?
In January. I'm doing great. I couldn't be better.
Good.
You know, they they didn't open my, they opened my chest, but they didn't crack my ribs. They went on top of my heart.
Yeah.
And they did it that way. And I got one little incision on my leg that you can't even see. And then, of course, the other incision. Yeah. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll be 73 in October.
Ah, a young man.
Yeah, and I'm a crossing guard in the next town. I live in Elmwood Park, but the next town over is River Grove, and I'm a crossing guard there 5 days a week, 2 hours a day.
Good.
Keeps me out of the house.
Absolutely, and keeps you on your feet and keeps you doing something. I think it's great. I'm glad you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. And I enjoy your show. I mean, I have you on every night, even the repeats on Friday.
Ah, all right. Well, thank you.
No, I listen. You're welcome. You have a great show, Raleigh.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it. All right, so, we've got another hour to talk about whatever's on your mind. I'll try not to be so long-winded. We got Fran in Austin and Ralph's in Rockford, and Nick is in Baltimore. The Ruth and Cindy duo. Cindy once said, I understand Ruth, and so then I got an email from Amy saying, well, since they understand each other, you should have Cindy and Ruth talking to each other. Okay, maybe we're not going to do that, but... although I don't know, but maybe one right after the other. How's that sound? And don't forget, we have the new moon coming up tomorrow at just after 12:30 Central Time in the afternoon. And it's also a solar eclipse. And so, the astrologers and all that are going nuts about what it portends. But particularly if it's sitting on your Pluto, and it is, by the way, if you were born between like 1950 and 54, kind of like our last caller, Mike. Yeah, well, that eclipse will affect them, if you believe it affects anybody. So so I leave it to you. And of course, should you really be interested in this, there's no shortages of people on YouTube right now telling you what's going to happen. I'll wait and see for myself. So I'll wait and see if we can talk to you, hopefully next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Well, there's
channels. Yeah, so distinctive and so wonderful as far as I'm concerned. They were only around for 3 years, from 55 to 58, and in 3 years they were on half a dozen labels, at least. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but we're talking about a lot of labels. And that was on Whirlin' Disc, Stars in the Sky. But let's see, Gone and Fury and Port and Hit and Enjoy and Groove. Yeah, I'm sure there's more. But all right. And actually, I just found a letter, and Liam wrote it in June. Sorry, Liam. I hope you're listening. He's 17 years old, and he is a Coloradan. He's in somewhere. Berthoud, Why can't I find this on a map? But I'll look for it. So anyway, he loves listening to shortwave radio, and I don't blame you. And I am delighted that you're listening to me. We played Shirk Spells May Ring back in November for him, but he has a couple of other requests. Now, tonight by the Mellow Kings, I actually played after he wrote this letter, but I hadn't gotten it yet, so that doesn't count. I guess I have to play it again, don't I? And Stars in the Sky, the Channels, no one has ever requested that before, so I am thrilled about that. And he also wants to hear a lovely Jerry Butler song that we'll play next. So now I'm going to look at his town on a map. All right, so probably driven through it more times than I can count, but I don't know. So where are we now? Yeah, I know, famous last words. Let's talk to Fran in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Rolly.
How are you doing?
I'm doing. Okay. I had my infusion on Monday, and so that's why I didn't check in on Monday Night Trivia, because I was kind of out of...
absolutely, but hopefully it, at this point, did you some good.
Yeah. Right. So, but I was, still itching and stuff, but other than that... That itchy, twitchy feeling.
Right, yes, okay.
Poison ivy. Anyway, I was calling to talk about a little bit about my grandfather when he had dementia.
Yeah.
And it made me think about something. Well, a couple of times he woke up and he couldn't speak any English, but Spanish was his first language, so... That's completely understandable. But he would talk sometimes about things that had not, like he would say something about the maid and something about the chickens. And he never had a maid in his life that we,
we're aware of anyway.
That
yeah.
We know of.
Right.
And, he would just talk. Sometimes he would talk about things and people that nobody had ever heard of.
Which is interesting because obviously he heard of them and you wonder where it came from.
Yeah. And so it makes me sometimes wonder, because I've seen a couple of other people, and it makes me sometimes wonder if that curtain is drawn.
Yeah.
What do they call it? There was a name for it, and I know it's less what's left, but the
probably some kind of a veil.
The veil. Okay. Yeah. And you can see. Yeah. You experience some of your former lives.
Yeah.
Because it just seems very plausible, especially watching my grandfather talking about the maid and this
right.
kind of thing.
Well, that's why I really wish there was some medium. They bring back everybody. They're talking to Johnny Carson or whatever. Maybe, somebody else is dead. But they never talk to anybody who has suffered from Alzheimer's, because I'd like to know what was their cognition about? What was really going on?
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, my grandmother, it was terrible. My grandmother was seeing demons.
Okay.
And she said some things to my mother that really just, she says she always hated her.
Ooh. Yeah, and you wonder, is that their inner truth coming out?
Yeah, and there were some problems between the two of them, but it's weird because they were, we used to call them the two superpowers, on the one hand, but then they were also very close in some ways, but, it totally messed up my poor mom.
Oh, yeah.
She was seeing, she said, get those kids out of here. And
there
my
were no,
mother's it, like, what kids?
Right.
There were no.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what running, kids, right.
Running, running around saying, blank the old lady, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it's like, oh, God, you know. But I'm going to read, Chris Christopherson wrote a book while he was going through his dementia issues. And I guess, you know, he could write the book in his more lucid moments.
Right.
And, you know, apparently it's quite an interesting book. So I'm going to see if I can.
Yeah. No, I did not realize he wrote one. And I'm going to look this up right now, because I agree. If he had lucid moments in between, did he actually write about what he was thinking during the non-lucid moments?
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. But, you know, he also says things like, you know, if you've done something to me and you feel guilty about it or something, I don't remember it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or it's all, everything's in the moment. And, you know, if he doesn't remember who you are, you know, and that sort of thing, it's harder on you than it is on him.
Well, it's interesting because, with you telling me about your grandmother hating your mother, oh, man, that's even more interesting. If he's saying, I don't even remember it, well, she remembered it.
Oh, boy, she did. And none of the, she called me, my mother called me just sobbing. And my mother is pretty stoic. I mean, you know. Or she was, but I mean, she just, it just pulled everything that she thought she knew about her relationship with her mother. Somebody was telling her, well, she didn't know what she was saying and she didn't mean it. And I thought,
I don't know.
Not the way my mother tells it. My mother does sometimes have what I call creative reality, or did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, that really, in fact, I was almost afraid to go, I still have regrets that I didn't get to see my mother before she passed.
Right.
But sometimes I think, well, is she going to say she hated me?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's interesting. Okay, so I just looked up this Christopherson thing, and apparently he didn't have Alzheimer's, which is really interesting. He started to...
Oh, I thought he did.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. He started to have memory issues in his 70s and, trouble remembering lyrics. And so doctors did diagnose him, saying, well, you've got onset of Alzheimer's disease. Well, it turned out in 2016, a doctor tested him, and he actually tested positive for Lyme disease. And after going through quite the regimen being treated for Lyme disease, his cognitive function and memory noticeably improved. And that's what allowed him to continue to perform. And then, of course, he passed away in 2024. But so it was more of a Lyme disease misdiagnosis than it was that he had Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah. I might still read the book anyway.
Well, I'm trying to find the book, and I'm not finding one, because that's how I stumbled across this that I just mentioned. I'm not finding any that he wrote. There are others that other people wrote, but I'm not. So if you find it, let me know what it is.
I will. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing the Earl Jean for me.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's a great record.
I love that. Her voice is just amazing.
Oh,
I love her voice.
Absolutely, and so wonderfully identifiable. So,
It's just smooth as silk, and just she's got a great range, and no wonder they used her. I mean, I can hear her, in other groups, she really stands out, even if she's not doing the solo part. But I love what she did in Foolish Little Girl.
Right. Her version of that is just terrific. And so, but what a soap opera she lived. Because, of course, while she was with the Cookies, she wound up giving birth to Jerry Goffin's kid. And she was...
That's what I remember you saying.
Right, and, yeah. And Jerry was married to Carol at the time. That wasn't as surprising as Earl Jean was still married to, I think his name was Grant McRae. He was, to this day I've wondered, well, what did Grant ever say about this? And I've never been able to find that out. So, yeah, Revis, that was his name, Revis, because she at that time was Earl Jean Revis, and what the heck, and I don't know what happened to Revis, but I don't think they divorced, I don't know, but anyway, that was it. But her cookie stuff was great, and I agree with you, I love her version of Foolish Little Girl.
Yes, Anyway, I guess that's all I have for tonight. No news on the transit situation. Nobody's calling me back.
Gee, what a shock. What a real shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, stay at it. We want to hear this. Yes.
Okay. Well, right. I'll let you know if anything happens.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All right, so Capital Metro, some holier than thou about how woke they are and everything else. Yeah, well, until it comes to actually helping somebody who might need it. All right, Cindy in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio. All right, Cindy, what's up?
Well, I had two songs. Well, one thing I wanted to... first of all, before I forget, there's another scandal at a cemetery over, I think, cremation. I can't remember. It's the Bohemian Cemetery on Pulaski, and the reason I even paid attention is my mother's side is buried in Montrose Cemetery right across the street, so I just noticed the Bohemian Cemetery was across. So I've heard of the Bohemian Cemetery over there, but there's some other kind of scandal there, too.
Well, what it was, I had heard about that, too, but apparently officials had discovered that there were equipment failures and there were 39 remains waiting for cremation that were not kept at proper temperatures. So that was it. But all 35 have since been cremated, and they knew who all 35 were. There wasn't a mix-up there.
Well, you know that one on the scandal on the south side. The woman probably running the funeral parlor took the money people paid her and went to the casino and blew it all.
I have no idea what actually happened, but it's unforgivable, and hopefully they'll throw her under the jail.
So then I have two songs. One I don't know if you would play. Where's my reading glass? I don't know where my reading glass. The first one was this one you'll play. Let's Get It On. We all are special people.
You're talking about Get It On. You're talking about the Marvin Gaye record.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm not in the mood for anything mushy either.
All right.
But then anyhow, the other song is. We All Shine On by Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Oh, no, that's not going to be happening. I'm sorry.
Well, I finally figured out what that song is about. I mean, I knew to a point, but...
I don't know. I don't care. We're not going to be playing it.
But anyhow, it's about how the wheat and the tare grow up together and we all live out in eternity.
Okay, then. Appreciate the call.
The other thing I wanted to tell you is just a story about my mother. We were coming home from Lombard, from the chiropractor. My mother had chiropractic treatment for her knees. And, we were by Mannheim and, I don't know, Irving Park. And all of a sudden, my mother looked up out the window and said, "Oh, the sky, the clouds opened up, and I see angels in the sky."
That's not a good sign.
She died about 6 months later.
All right, well, the angels came for her.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I'm not afraid to die, I don't know. I just believe there's something beyond.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to go. Tonight will be fine. Okay, good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right. Yeah, I think the universal thing is nobody wants to linger. Yeah, you don't really want to be struck down with, and that's the horror of Alzheimer's, for instance. You don't want to be struck down with that. But as far as otherwise going, my favorite was a guy in Austin. I probably told you this before, but he was playing golf with a friend of mine. And on right there at the hole, all of a sudden he says, whoops, and he grabs his chest, gotta go, and he literally dropped dead. And so, yeah, so that's the way I want to go with the whoops, gotta go plan. That's the one that's for me, and whenever, that's fine. So we'll see. You know, I don't know what I can tell you about the other side. As I say, all the NDE things I listen to, I think, well, that's just the demo version. Nobody who's really gone has come back yet, and that's kind of a shame. So I don't know who the mediums are talking to, but it would be good if they turned their attention to people who've had Alzheimer's, because I think we'd like to know, what were they thinking? All right. So, yeah, I've gone off the deep end now. We'll play another one of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
Whoa, Western Union man, send a telegram to my baby. Send a telegram, send a telegram. Whoa, send a telegram to my baby. This is what I want you to say. Want you to tell her that I'm all alone. I tried to call her on the phone. Tell her I'm in misery and think she's avoiding me. And if the telegram don't do, send a box of candy too and maybe some flowers. Tell her that I missed her for hours and hours. Send a telegram, send a telegram. Hurry up, send a telegram, man. To my baby, you hear what I say? Oh, Western Union man, send a telegram. Oh, send a telegram to my baby. Western Union man, hey, send a telegram. Oh, send a telegram, send a telegram. Oh, send a telegram, man, to my baby. This is what I want you to do. Listen, tell me, have you got a boy you can send? Well, this is what I want him to do. Put him on his bike right away. See if he can get my message through. Date it tomorrow, but mail it right away. I want the girl to know that I missed her. Something like yesterday. Send a telegram, send a telegram. Whoa, send a telegram, man, to my baby. Do you hear what I say? Oh, Western Union, man, why don't you send a telegram? Whoa, send a telegram to my baby. Western Union, man.
WGN Radio. Raleigh James, and that's for Liam, and we're going to check out the news. Well, actually, we are checking out the news, so I don't know. Liam, are you listening on the stream? Hard to tell. Hope you enjoyed it. Either way, we'll get back to it in moments here. The third for Liam, and if he's listening over the air, he didn't hear me talking after Mr. Western Union man, there was. And the Mellow Kings, of course, they weren't around for too long either. So, who was, when it gets right down to that era, but 1957 on Herald, of course, and yes, indeed. And what I was saying is, I said I would look up Berthet, and I think it is pronounced Berthet, I don't know, but I realized, yeah, I've driven through it many times. It's hard to miss, because it's between Longmont and Loveland, right there on 287. So, all right, thanks for listening, Liam. Now, 888-876-5593. Nick is in Baltimore. What's happening tonight, Nick?
Hey, good morning, Ronnie.
How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my... Oh, I'm doing okay. I wanted to mention something. You were talking about weather earlier.
Yeah.
And I remember back in the mid-60s, you didn't have the weather warning systems you have now.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And of course, you know, I think it's so funny because you also didn't have the percentage of rain. And to this day, when the television weather will give you the percentage of rain, most people have no idea what that really means.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there are incredible fights on that. People think, well, 10% chance of rain means it's going to rain in 10% of the area. No, it doesn't. You know, on and on it goes. Yeah, but you're right. It was much more approximate than exact.
Right, and I can remember one time, this is like back in 1965, I think, and I must have been 8 years old way back when, and it was summertime, so we were all out of school, and we had this storm. We must have had a tornado, because later on we heard of roofs being torn off. In fact, there was a tornado today. It's been the tornadoes in Chicago. We had a tornado today. I don't think it touched down, but it was down in actually it was in the Dundalk area. I haven't heard the news, so I don't know if there's any damage. It probably was. There's probably some power lines down or something. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that we had about 10 or 11 years ago an earthquake here, and all I can tell you is it's felt like, and I had retired by then, and the house shook, and it sounded like when you're on a train, with that metal, you know, hitting the tracks and stuff. That's what that sounded like to me. But the whole house shook, and it went back and forth. It was like really weird. I got the hot water heater exploded or something.
Right. There's no active fault, but there's a number of small faults there. So you don't really get earthquakes as much as you get tremors. And, you know, they're fairly low. And they can be different. Like, some of them are sharp, and others of them are rolling. You know, they're not all the same.
Yeah, this was kind of rolling.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, some of them are very rolling, and others are absolutely sharp. And there's a lot of them, but like I say, they're under two in magnitude for the most part.
Oh yeah, but I when that happened, you couldn't get anybody on the phone. It was just the lines were so overloaded.
Interesting.
I mean, like for a half an hour, you couldn't call anybody. And the cell service was down. The regular service was down, too. So it was really weird. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's no major fault there. But I'm sure they've got a couple seismometers. Every state has them somewhere. But, again, who needs the 10-second warning?
Right. Yeah. It's much more prevalent out on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, well, active faults. But, you know, that's the thing. One of our largest faults is New Madrid, and that's the middle of the country. You know, that's Missouri and things like that. That could go. We don't know what to think about that. And there's a pretty big fault under Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's what they say. Obviously, I'm no expert at it, but I think it's called the 125th Street Fault. So it's diagonally across Harlem. I don't think that it's any more active than what you're getting in Baltimore, though. But yeah, the 125th Street Fault.
So that's one.
The only reason that it came to light is because it had an impact on the subway. When they were engineering the direction, they didn't want to tunnel through the fault because it was unstable, broken stone. So they chose a different way, and they've got a couple other small faults, but that 125th Street was notable at the time. But I don't think it's going to do anything major. Now New Madrid, that could.
Well, it's pretty interesting, you know, when you think about weather, especially this time of year too. By the way, because now we're getting into the hurricane season, and that. A lot of, you know, it's a transitional time.
Oh, sure.
So a lot of things will be happening. And we've had storms just about every day here. And you guys have had it up over there, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's expected here. You know, it's the way it works, the monsoons. You get nothing or you just get an onslaught of rain. And then the dust storms, of course. They had one a week or so ago that literally turned it to night during the day. You just couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Wow.
You know, and that's okay, except unless you're driving, you know, then it's problematic.
Yeah.
But not all that, that line. But yeah, who knows? It's all changeable, and, you know, we can expect weather. It kills me, though, that we don't harden our infrastructure. You know, when you hear about the power outages, David Jennings is mentioning that, and you hear a lot about all that everywhere. Why on earth aren't the lines buried? Now, I realize that the major cables that are, you know, doing high power, that's not feasible, but in every neighborhood, it's 100% feasible. And we've been talking about this for years, and not only for our convenience in terms of weather, but also eventually someone's gonna you know, level a pulse bomb at us, because they're not all that hard to do, and that's just gonna decimate people. Why do we let these power companies get away? Like we've got one here, you know, especially when they're publicly traded and they're for a profit, that actually once said directly to me, "We're proud that we're an overhead company." It boggled the mind. I said, "Could you repeat that?" You know, yeah, we're proud we're an overhead company. No, do not be proud of that. But you know, there are very few systems like EPB in Chattanooga, which is so wonderful. Not only is everything buried, but there are so many redundant paths. I think I mentioned this too. A truck hit the pole in front of our house, went down. We never lost power. We had like a 10-second brownout as it switched to another point on the grid.
Well, see, that's what happens. When we first moved here, the power would, you know, we have somebody would hit a light pole, and we'd be out of power for like 2-3 hours.
Yes.
Now it's more like 30 seconds. But
which
what
is
happens
nice.
Is they switch. What happened? It happened last night. They switch to another substation. It's all happening, you know, it's automated.
Yeah, on the grid. Well, yeah, anyway. But the grid has to be built. You know, it's got to have the path that it can take. And if you're dealing in areas that just don't have that redundancy, there's nowhere for it to go. But it's just crazy that the municipalities that obviously, you know, vote, I know they're long-term and all that, but nonetheless, you know, and the state utility commissions, it should be more of a more of an emphasis on hardening the system.
They should, and they've been talking about it for years, and like you said, they never do it.
No, exactly, it is not political from the standpoint of one party or another. I mean, one of the biggest proponents of this was Ed Rendell when he was head of the DNC. He spoke at length about this, and nobody was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, major error.
And that's typical.
It will come to bite us, I would predict, at some point. I hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
It will. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's all I have for tonight. And
good to talk to you.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. So, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Gee, I know. I can hear John echoing in my ears. You're almost talking about something that matters. Shut up and move on. All right. Well, I will. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Party lights, I see the party lights. Everybody in the family line.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was actually a B-side. The A-side was disappointed, and it was. But the B-side was terrific and a big hit to 1962. Bob Marcucci produced it. And, Philadelphia project all the way around, but she's originally from Macon. A friend I worked with who had said, I'm from Macon, I knew everybody, I don't know her. She was born there, but she grew up in Philadelphia. And the question is, what happened to her? And I don't have an answer. Ralph in Rockford, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you very much for welcoming me again.
Yes. Oh, I should mention before I do anything else that, yes, Party Lights was a request, and that was for Jack in St. Charles. All right.
All right. Well, I would like to have one request at the end, okay? But I won't go there now. I just noticed the last hour was very interesting, and before you were talking about earthquakes.
Mm.
Yeah, and believe it or not, where I was living with my parents, unfortunately, my parents had died early in their lives, and that really upset me very much because we had beautiful house and property and everything, and then it was all left to me.
Ah.
You know. Yeah. Well, the only consolation I had, there was a lot of money involved, but money can never replace love.
Well, of course. Now, where was this located at the time?
Yeah, I tell you exactly where it was because you know this area quite well. It was 1 mile from Holland and eight or nine miles from Belgium. It was right on the most western part of West Germany.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so I come home. I want to make a little bit short here. So I come home one night from one of my girlfriends. It was a right for me to have girlfriends because I've never been married. Okay? So once I even went to the lady with the crystal ball and I told her what is wrong with me, and she looked at me and did her diagnosis, and she said the only girls or doctors who will marry you will be radiology, you know, the X-rays.
Oh no!
Yeah, and I said why? I said why? And she says, they will be the only thing that will ever see anything in you.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Please. That's a bad payoff line. Moving right along.
Okay, moving right along anyway. So I come home. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and this was a big house. I always left the windows open from the first floor, second floor, and third floor to get the fresh air, okay? So I rush up to the third floor to close the windows because it's getting a little bit colder, chillier. All of a sudden, these walls start to shake.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've never been through that, and the last thing I was thinking about was an earthquake.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, because the last earthquake in that particular region was in 1789.
Well, but they have them, not real strong, but you're always hearing about little earthquakes, you know, like I say, maybe a 4, but not big time. But yeah, when you're talking the major earthquakes, it's like the 1400s or something, but they do have them still.
Yeah, they still had them, and this one was almost a 6.
Oh, that's pretty big.
Yeah, it got pretty big, and I tell you one thing, I've never heard these noises in the wall. My suspicion was, I thought, you know, this house is not that old.
Uh-huh.
It cannot be the foundation that's giving in.
Uh-huh.
That's what I, you know, you think. I never heard this because my parents loved me very much, and I loved my parents very much, and they would have told me if there's a danger of earthquakes, they would have told me.
So was this the 1992 quake?
Oh, how did you know that now?
Well, because that was like bigger than the 2009, and I mean, I know it wasn't the 1951 because you're not that old. So you don't have all that many. So 1992, you know, there's not that many famous earthquakes in the area, but those are what you got. You got, you know, 51, 92, 2009. That's really about it. I think there was something a little less 2011, but that's been it. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm just amazed you know about this.
Well, been to enough museums, seen the displays,
Well, okay, anyway, to come here to have a decent conclusion. Of course, I got panicky. You know, I never heard these noises like that in the house.
Right.
And, you know, and so what I did, I ran out of the house, and we had three apartments in the house, plus the plus downstairs, the business downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I run out, and there are already people that have run out too. They're on the street, and what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to come to find out later that there was, you know, the Rhine River.
Right.
You know, the Rhine River. Yeah, the Rhine River originates in Schaffhausen,
mm-hmm.
in Switzerland. And it runs through all much part of Germany, especially in the end of Germany. It goes through Cologne, Düsseldorf, mm-hmm. and then it enters
Westphalia.
Into Holland.
Yeah, Westphalia.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Westphalia, right. And then it enters where I live into Holland, and there's a little town of the name of Roermond. Yeah, and from Roermond it goes straight into Amsterdam, where it flows into the North Sea.
Right.
You know, and yeah, and believe it or not, I talked yesterday to my cousin, and he tells me, well, he's a retired physician, he tells me that the drought right now in Germany is so bad,
ooh.
It hasn't rained there for 2 months, and they say that was big business before that, because they would have big ships run around, you know, on the Rhine. Mm. And they said right now the Rhine is so dry that they can only very slowly go in the middle of it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, that's, you know, well, that's why I called you, because I always like to contribute something.
Yeah,
to
no,
it,
so. it's good. I know Heinsberg really got hit from that earthquake.
That had
a lot of damage.
No, I'm surprised again that you know Heinsberg, because that's where we lived.
Okay, well, yeah, that was, it wasn't the epicenter. The epicenter was actually in the Netherlands, but that was pretty close. So,
yeah, very close. And,
yeah.
And exactly, we lived in the little village right next to Heinsberg.
Okay.
You know? And so, I'm very surprised that you know all of this.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Schaffhausen and all those, of course.
Schaffhausen, yeah, and our town was Oberbruch.
Okay.
Oberbruch, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right next to Schaffhausen.
Yep.
And Oberbruch was the one that was most badly hit.
Yeah, that was, from Schaffhausen, that's probably northeast, mostly east, but northeast a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, only a mile or two.
Yeah, I know.
That's very close from Schaffhausen. Okay, so, you know, you can imagine, you know, how afraid I was.
Oh, absolutely. You've ended the show, so I want to hear the rest of the story. Call me back tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night I'll call you back.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
and apologies to those of you I didn't get to, but that's why 21 hours from now we do it all again, and we hopefully will do it with you. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Jumpin' Jack Flash plus Squall of the Wild and Creeping Las Vegas. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Retrieval Knievel, Bear Bonsai Bozo, bounds off New York's Brooklyn Bridge and lives to dwell about it. The boys in blue found full frontal crudity at the very top of the bridge over the River Wye, but couldn't convince him to come down. The naked ne'er-do-well appeared to plant a few flags up there before taking a flying leap like a free bird straight down into the greased river. Cops fished him out and took him to Bellevue, case closed. Teddy Scares, The Bait Outdoors, a bone-chilling bonanza of beastly break-ins by bears brutally besieging locals around Lake Tahoe, the Journal reports. Cope in season as a barrage of bears barge in, raid fridges, menace residents, and trash the joint. Folks spending thousands on electric fences and doors to protect their proud ponderosas from overbearing interlopers, but some fear the bumptious bears are beating them badly in the battle of the wild riled nest. Honeyball, swing and a diss. Burn fun average for the ex-pres of a little league in Las Vegas. Wheeler dealer of dreams took $65,000 from the little league and spent it on strip clubs, gambling joints, travel, and ED meds, cops say. Batter-ups now facing hardball charges of theft and forgery, KLAS reports. Kids are now out of yuck. One local office says it's a shame stoning criminals is no longer done. For the love of the shame. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.